instead. I am honored to share tonight. We will do our best to have the scriptures up on the screen, but we also have the notes in the sermon notes under the This Week tab in our New Life Church LH and in the New Life Church LH app. Everybody should have elements in front of them. If you are watching from home tonight, I highly encourage you to gather your elements because at the very end, we're going to be taking communion. And this last Sunday, we took communion, and I just saw a glimpse of what tonight looked like, and I got really excited because tonight we're going to talk about the significance and the sacrifice of communion. And so the title of my message for tonight is The Remembering, remembering the significance and the sacrifice of communion. But before we jump in, we'll go ahead and pray first. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word. Your word is perfect in every single way. It can divide between spirit and soul. So Lord, we just ask that tonight that we want to be the ones who can say that your word works, your word is working mightily in me, that your word never fails, it never returns void, but especially not in my life. And so no matter what the word is, we want to be the ones who say, here I am, this is for me to apply and take not only into my life, but into the people that I experience on a daily basis. We give you all the glory in advance. In the name of Jesus, amen. So like I said, the title of my message tonight is The Remembering of Communion. And so tonight we're going to talk about how Jesus not only told us to take communion, but he told us how to take communion and he told us why we take communion. And so tonight as we go forward, all of us pretty much in this room are used to taking communion on a daily basis, but it's good to have a remembering of why we take communion. We never get past the foundation. It's kind of like if you've ever played Candyland, just because you're really good at Candyland, you don't just move ahead a couple spaces. You still have to start back at the beginning. So tonight we're going to have the foundation of what the word has to say about communion. So in your notes, you'll see that the Lord himself told us to take communion. Our main scripture for tonight is going to be Luke 22:19. And it says, he took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And as Jesus was sitting there with all of his disciples there, he knew that just hours later, what his body, he said, this is my body, which is given for you. He knew hours later what was going to be taking place in his body, right? And so he knew what was going to take place, and yet he still made it a point to call this to mind. He knew that later on the disciples would be remembering this moment and knew that Jesus knew ahead of time what would be taking place in his body. So our main passage for tonight is going to be 1 Corinthians 11. We're going to go through all the different verses, but we're going to start in verse 23. We're going to go to verse 26. It says, on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper and said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So he wanted to know that what was about to happen was for us. Yes, communion we do in remembrance of Jesus, but we're going to talk about later how everything that happened to him was not just to end with him, but it was for us to take on for ourselves. And so the Lord instituted the ordinance of communion. And whenever we talk about ordinances, there's really two main ordinances within the church. There's baptism, which we believe is full submersion in water. We say it's no longer, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. This face that you see might be, you know, my earth suit might look like one thing, but it's Jesus on the inside that's walking around and doing everything for the glory of God, right? And so in the same way, there's baptism, but then there's also the Lord's Supper that Jesus gave as an example. And so Jesus told us to take communion. And so whenever we talk about Jesus, some of us can accept him as our savior, which is like, Jesus, you've saved me from eternal hell, and I'm going to get to be with Jesus someday in heaven. But there's also the side of Jesus that we need to accept him as our Lord. And so that means that he's making our decisions. He's the one who is at the forefront of all of the actions that we take, right? But most of us are taking communion, right? When I look around the room, all of us are taking communion, and we're doing so frequently. Here at our church, we at least take communion once a month, and so there's a frequency, but tonight we're going to talk about even if our position is right, if our posture is right. And so a really good example of this, we were just recently in prayer, and Pastor Kim had an image in her head of white water rafting, and there was like six people in the boat, and there's a guide on the back, and the guide is shouting what actions they need to take. So he's saying, paddle 2 to the left, paddle 3 to the right. And the people in the boat, their actions have to be correct in order for them to safely maneuver down the river, right? But in the same way, I saw this in terms of communion, in the same way the guide on the inside, on the back, he's saying not only what to do action-wise, but he's telling them how to lean. He's saying, lean back. Everybody lean to the right. Everybody lean, you know, lean one way, lean. And the reason why is because our actions can be completely correct. And if our posture is not right, we're going to be wondering why we're getting water in the boat. We're going to be wondering why we're not seeing the success in the same way, even though we're doing the same actions. Does this make sense? And so as much as we remember Jesus and the sacrifice, we also need to remember the significance behind it. And so communion should not be common. We need to take it often. There needs to be a frequency. There needs to be a repetition. But tonight, I want to encourage us that we can't let the repetition of remembering become redundant. And so, you know, that song that we sing tonight, I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when it's, you know, it's not been enough. There have been plenty of times, and we're going to talk about it, that how we do what we do is just as important as the food that we take into our body, as the cup that we drink. Our heart posture has to be correct. It can't be common anymore. So in Matthew 26:26, it says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat it. This is my body. And so Jesus did not give them an option. He said, take and eat it. It wasn't, tonight the point is not that if your heart is not correct, then just don't take communion. Jesus did not give that as an option. And it's similar in 1 Corinthians 11, the same verse 26, it says, for as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so this is kind of like when Jesus was saying, when you fast and pray, he didn't say, if you fast and pray. Here we don't see, he says, if you eat the bread and drink the cup. He says, when you do, as often as you do, this is how our heart posture needs to be and what we're going to do in the process. So Jesus, number one, he tells us to take up communion. And then number two, the Bible tells us how to take up communion. And so the very next verse, we're going to read 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 32. It says, so then whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sin against the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself in this way. Let him eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many are sick and ill among you, and many have fallen asleep. If we were properly judging ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that we may not be condemned with the world. Now, there's some pretty sobering phrases in here. So we're going to kind of break down what some of these things mean. So in verse 27, it says, let us not take it in an unworthy manner. What's an unworthy manner? So here we see if somebody is not saved, if somebody is not a believer, you can't say yes to communion and what it entails without saying yes to Jesus, right? Most of us know that. So this is why communion for the unbeliever is largely unprofitable. But as soon as we say yes to Jesus, the benefits and the blessings of communion are also a yes and amen, right? But also, most of us in here, if not all of us in here, are saved. And so what does this mean for us as a believer? An unworthy manner is without proper regard for the significance and the sacrifice. And so I'll tell on myself in seventh grade, the church where I grew up in, we did not have the cute little pre-filled cups. We had manna that was made, and then we would break it up, And then we actually filled up all of the little cups with Welch's white grape juice. It tastes way better. So that was our job. We had like a little long-necked basting bottle, and that's how we filled up all of the little cups. And so one Sunday morning, I was in seventh or eighth grade. We had already filled up all of the cups, and we had some extra juice left. So we thought, well, this will be fun. We'll just try to play a game out of it. We'll keep stepping back and back and back, and we'll try to see who can get the most juice in their mouth without, like, you know, with the basting bottle. And my youth pastor came in at the time, and he wasn't very happy, and I didn't understand at the time, but he was making sure that we were not taking communion in an unworthy manner, that this was something that was very holy and very sacred. And not that we're supposed to, like, be religious about it, but at the same time, this should not just be so common that we're taking it lightly. This should be something that, because the Lord instituted it, because he ordained it, we want the sanctity and the sacrifice of it all, the significance of it, to be full in our lives. So we want to take it with a worthy manner, right? So how do we do that? In the very next verse, it says, let a person examine himself. So what is examining ourselves? It's to make careful scrutiny of one's conduct in light of the word, not according to how I feel about myself, not according to how many hours I've served, not according to if I've prayed enough lately. But what's really cool here is that it's according to the word. And so this is if they eat or drink without recognizing the body, right? So spiritually, are we okay? Is there unforgiveness in my life that I need to attend to? Am I right with God? Am I in right standing? Do I need to go and ask for forgiveness? And what's really cool, we're going to talk about it. God's really gracious. He never makes it scary. He makes it really easy. So let's examine our spirits. Let's examine our souls. Is there some mind renewal that needs to take place? Is there some emotions that need to be in check? Is our soul okay? And then finally, is our body, is our flesh okay? We're going to talk about this, but there is healing in communion. And so before we even eat of the bread or drink of the cup, let's examine ourselves. Is there something healing-wise that I can stand for and I can believe in? Is there something body-wise that I need to cut out? You know, it's really cool, actually, if you fast, for communion to be like the first meal that you take again. It's very special if you've ever done that. I know, we didn't do that this time, huh? It would be really fun to take communion to say, it's not natural bread that I need, Lord. I need the bread of life on the inside of me. I've sacrificed some things and I want to start again new. So are there some things in our lives that we need to cut out? So this is examining ourselves. And then the last thing we're going to talk about in this passage is verse 29. It says that they eat and drink judgment on themselves. And in the King James Version, if you have that memorized, it says that they drink from the cup of damnation. And so I want to set kind of like, many scholars have agreed that judgment is a better translation of this word. Because what it is, it's that God, if we take communion in an unworthy manner, we're not getting sent to hell for the rest of eternity just because we've taken it in an unworthy manner. What this means is I kind of see it like, as a kid, it's better to go to your parents and say, hey, I messed up. And to restore that relationship before your parents come to you, you have the opportunity to lie, you mess up again, and you go around the circle. It's better to restore the relationship by going to your Heavenly Father and saying, Lord, these are the areas in which I need to examine myself. And then there's restoration of fellowship. And then we can eat and drink together in wonderful merriment, right? And so we can see a very clear example of this within the disciples. I hadn't written my message on Sunday, but I talked about Judas during worship. And Judas saw the same miracles, heard the same messages, saw the same Jesus, sat at the same table, ate the same bread, drank the same cup, and yet there was a difference in how they took communion. We can see, because he kissed Jesus and it was the kiss of betrayal. And so we can be sitting in the same room, but if we're not examining ourselves, those of us who call ourselves disciples of Jesus will do this in the way that he intended it. So Jesus not only told us to take up communion, but he told us how to do it, right? So as we have a fellowship of communion, communion is not just bread and juice. Communion is a type and a shadow, or just like a little glimpse of what communion really is, which is fellowship. And so what we're doing when we take communion is that we're looking forward to the day when our hope is fulfilled and we get to see Jesus with unveiled faces and get to see him in perfect beauty, and we'll shout, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," for all of eternity, right? That's what we're doing when we're taking communion, is we're seeing just a little glimpse of what that fellowship can look like. And so how we're supposed to take up communion is to examine ourselves and to look forward to Christ's return. In Matthew 26, 29, it says, "But I tell you, I will not drink from the fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So while we are continually taking communion, he's waiting for the day in which we can eat and drink together at the wonderful feast, when it's already been prepared before us and we arrive and everything, all the foods that we can't even imagine here on earth are being served, and it's amazing. That's what Jesus is looking forward to. And all we're supposed to do in exchange is to continually remember him, to keep him before our eyes, and then look forward to the day when we get to see him face to face. Isn't that good? So Jesus not only told us to take up communion, he told us how to take up communion, and he very specifically chose two elements. So this is not going to be a comprehensive look into the bread of life and the blood of Jesus, but we're going to kind of talk on it, because in order to have a proper regard for the significance and the sacrifice of communion, we have to know what the symbolism is. We can just be eating the cracker, little styrofoam feeling cracker, and snap it in our hand, but if we don't actually even know what it means, then we don't have a proper regard for the significance of it, right? So the cup is a symbol of the new covenant. So in verse 29, it says, "He will not drink from the fruit of the vine from now on until he drinks it again with us in the new kingdom," right? So this fruit of the vine, what is it? It's to represent the blood of Jesus, and is a symbol of sealing the new covenant with his blood. And so just one verse before, he says, "This is my blood, which confirms the covenant between God and his people. It is poured out as a sacrifice to forgive the sins of many." So in the blood of Jesus is forgiveness. That's one of the wonderful applications of the blood of Jesus. We see in Levitical law that there was sprinkling of blood on the mercy seat, on the altar, in the tabernacle. We also see that blood was shed as a sacrifice of a type and shadow of what Jesus would perfectly fulfill, right? So we can see that there's forgiveness in the blood. And what's really cool is that Jesus was sharing all this about the blood and the body of himself at the time. This was kind of like his last will and testament. This would be his last meeting with all of his disciples before he sees them, once he raises from the dead and he spends some time with them again before going up to heaven. This is his last will and testament. And so the last words that somebody say to us are pretty commonly the things that we remember, right? And so the disciples would have called to mind that he focused so much on his body and on his blood and on the benefits of it. And so in order for a last will and testament to be in activity, to be available, the person has to die, right? And so in Hebrews 9, 16 through 18, out of the Berean Literal Bible, it says, "For where there is a will, it is necessary to establish the death of one having made it, because a will does not take effect until the one who made it has died. It cannot be executed while he is still alive. That is why even the first covenant was not put into effect without blood, without the shedding of blood. So why would we assume that the second covenant, the new covenant, would be sealed without blood? Of course it's going to be. But what does that mean for us?" So it means that he had to die in order for it to be put into power. And then we're going to talk later about why are we told to take up communion? What are all of the blessings that flow from it? But the second symbol in communion is that the bread of life, right? So whenever we talk about the two ordinances of that Jesus instituted, baptism is a symbol of our new life, right? We have been buried with Christ. We have been raised with Christ. And so there's a union that takes place with him. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me, right? There's a union that comes up with him. But communion is this, it signifies the death of our Lord so that we can be nourished from then on. So this is why we get baptized once. We see it a lot in the New Testament, right? Somebody would get saved, and then the Holy Spirit would inspire them to make a public declaration, to say, it's no longer I who lives, it's Christ who lives in me. That happens like one time. And if there's a new season of life, you feel like you're supposed to get baptized again, it's not wrong to get baptized again, but we see it as a precedence of once, right? But then what happens after you're born? We don't just eat once. We eat again and again and again, which is why we're supposed to take communion frequently. And so one who is born needs constant nourishment. So we see this as, you know, we're supposed to feed upon daily manna every day. We're supposed to read the word daily. But also this is ingesting the very life of Jesus on the inside over and over and over again. So why do we need to do this? Jesus told us. So this is a pretty long passage. This is John 6, 43 through 58. But Jesus explains it really well that I don't really need to add to it all too much. He says, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that anyone may eat of it and not die. I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life in you. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up from the dead, or I will raise him up on the last day. Because my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink, the one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, the one who feeds on me will live because of me. So just pause as we eat, what sustains us is what we eat, right? And we can survive off of a bare minimum. But the more, within reason, the more that we feed, the more that we ingest, the more that we're able to not only survive, but thrive. And so we see communion, the more that we feed on the bread of life, the more that we feed on the blood of Jesus and what it entails, we won't just have a base level Christian walk. We can see an operation that as we see, as we understand the significance of communion, as we take it in and as we let it nourish us, it will sustain us, right? So continuing on, it says, this is the bread that came down from heaven. It is not like the manna your ancestors ate and they died. The one who eats this bread will live forever. This is not eternal life as we see each other right now, right? This is eternal life when it comes to heaven. We will have a renewed body, praise God. But in the meantime, we don't have to wait to heaven to experience heaven on earth. It says, I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And so where that comes is that if we don't have faith to accept and appreciate, and we're going to talk about this, but like take on what Jesus offered, faith begins where the will of God is known. And so if we don't know that these things are available to us, we won't know to believe for them. We won't know to accept them, right? So, Jesus not only told us to take up communion, the Bible tells us how to take up communion, and then the Bible tells us why we take up communion. So, what are some of the blessings? There's other blessings in addition to these, but we're going to talk about two. That the Lord's Supper is a healing ordinance. And so, because we have a new covenant, we have new covenant blessings, and that the will that God left has been activated. And this is not just for my spirit, but this is also for my soul and my body. And so we see the Corinthian church, Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. And in verse 30, he says, this is why many are sick and ill among you and many have fallen asleep. So failure to discern, we see that they failed here to discern the significance and the sacrifice, right? So many of them were sick. Many of them fell asleep, which means that they passed away in this earthly life. Okay. So it's in your notes. And I didn't write it down in my notes, so I'm going to say it as well as I can. But failure to appreciate and appropriate the significance and the sacrifice of the body of Christ will make reality not become realized. So let's break that down a little bit. So failure to appreciate and appropriate. Now, cultural appropriation is a pretty hot topic button right now. And so cultural appropriation, very, very much summarized, is the taking on of something in another culture, usually without that person's allowance, for yourself. So largely it's assumed that cultural appropriation is not good, but there is an appropriation that we should be participating in, and that is spiritual appropriation. Because Jesus said that this is my body, which is for you. There was something that he was going to experience that he wanted us to take on for ourselves and not just see it for him. Does that make sense? So we have to appreciate. In order to even take it on for ourselves, we have to appreciate it. And then we have to take it on for ourselves. And then whenever we talk about reality not becoming realized, the truth is the truth, right? Whether you believe it, whether I see it come to pass, the facts do not change the truth. However, reality might not be realized in my life. And so if we're not appreciating, appropriating not only the significance, but the sacrifice, the reality is there, but it will not become realized in our life. We will not see the blessings that Jesus intended for us to have take place in our life, right? So a very real example, there have been many people who the Holy Spirit has inspired to take up communion daily and to ingest the very lifeblood of Jesus, to ingest the bread of life, and they have seen healing in their body. So what this means for us is that we have to activate this with our participation. We can participate by action, but if we're not leaning into its benefits, if we're not leaning the way that the Lord intends for us to positionally be in our heart, we won't see the benefits of it, right? We'll just be doing it out of rote service. Oh, this is what happens after worship. This is the Sunday in which we take communion. Okay, I'm gonna snap my wafer in half. Okay, now we're done. No, let's lean into the blessings. Let's lean into how he intended for us to take communion, because this was a very special thing. He made this the very last thing he did, and there was a reason for it, right? So this is not just for our back pocket. We're not just supposed to say, oh yeah, I take communion. This is an activity on our part, right? So communion is a healing ordinance, but then communion is also a uniting ordinance. And this is kind of where we're going to spend the last part of our time. Baptism brings us into closer fellowship with God, right? I have been baptized. I have been buried with Christ. I have been raised with Christ. There's a fellowship with God. But communion brings us into closer fellowship with each other. This is why there's one cup. This is why there's one bread. And so normally we have wafers. Today, you all have pieces of bread out of one loaf of bread. We're gonna just take it a little step further, and we're gonna share the bread together as well, okay? So 1 Corinthians 10:16 through 17 says, the cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? There is one bread. We who are many are one body, so we all partake of the one bread. So I kind of see it this way. As we remember his body, he remembers our body. And so every time we come together, that's the reason why tonight is titled The Remembering. Every time we take communion, there's new faces. There's new people. There's new, you know, as we come together, it's never the same group of people. He's remembering. He's adding to our body. And this is not just here at New Life Church, but this is the church at whole. This is the Big C Church, right? And so I kind of saw this. We went to a ministers conference up in Colorado, and there's ministers from Australia, from Pakistan, from Iraq, from Arizona, Colorado, Louisiana, Texas. All of us are from all these different places. And as we got together, somebody got up and they said, I just kind of see this like a cross-pollinization that's happening. All of us were coming together. He was remembering. He was adding to our body. And so we're going to talk about cross-pollinization, which seems kind of weird, but cross-pollinization, its function is to bear fruit, which is what we're called to do, right? So cross-pollinization has three functions. It has genetic diversity. It helps with healthier offspring. and it aids in better quality seeds. So what does this mean for us as the body of Christ? In New Life Church, as we come together, each one of us bring a different supply. We aren't all gifted in the same ways. We're not all ears. We're not all fingers. As we come together, there's a genetic diversity that makes up one whole body, right? And in the same way, whenever we look at genetics, it is not good for people who are too close together genetically to create offspring, right? We see malfunctions. We see, you know, different things in the body that are not healthy. And so as we come together as a body, this is why it's very, very important that it's not just you and Jesus. Because if it's just me and Jesus, we see this a lot. Like when I was in youth group, there was a lot of kids who really, really loved Revelation, but they did not pay attention to the other 65 books of the Bible. And so they were so focused on like the last days that they weren't paying attention to the day that they were living in right now. But all of us can do that. All of us have something that we're really passionate about and we're going towards. And if we don't have the genetic diversity that helps, hey, are we praying? Hey, are we reading? Hey, how can I pray with you? You know, there's a genetic diversity that happens, and then we become healthier offspring. Offspring being the children of God. We become more healthy when there's a cross-pollinization that happens, right? And then the third reason the cross-pollinization bears better fruit is that it creates better quality seeds. And so as the offspring, the seeds that we're sowing are how we're sharing to the people around us. And if it's just us and Jesus, the seeds that we're sowing is going to be in one direction. It's not going to be well-rounded. So as we come together, as there's genetic diversity that creates healthy offspring, then the seeds that we sow is going to create a much better fruit as a whole. Does this make sense? It's really cool when we see it this way, because as we remember Jesus, he's adding, he's remembering, he's making our body so fruitful, right? And so as we take communion, it's not just us, it's not just our church, it's not even just the church at large in the world right now. There's generations for 2,000 years who have been taking communion. And as the great cloud of witnesses is cheering us on and, you know, encouraging us to go towards the great upward call of God on our life, there is a remembering that happens. We're being edified. We're being equipped. And so this happens. What happens is we create a better variety, right? So in cross-pollinization, whenever there's a cross-pollinization, it creates a new variety. And God says, behold, I'm doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? There's something new on the inside of us that's taking place because we're saying, Lord, I'm examining myself. Is there something that I need to lay aside? Is there something that I need to take on? I'm being nourished by your body. So we are becoming a new variety. There's new mercies every day, right? But also as the body of Christ, we are becoming new. There's new members. There's new members into the fold of the family that we get to cheer with and fellowship with. And so fellowship with God should spurn fellowship with each other, right? And so we can't think of communion as just something I do with Jesus and that's it. And we have to make sure that not only is our position right, is our heart posture right, right? And so tonight we're gonna take communion. If you've never accepted Jesus, there have been people who have gone to church for years and years and years. They have not, just being in the garage does not make you a car, right? So if you're not into the family because you have not said yes to Jesus, then we're not going to assume, right? But if you are, then there's an examining of ourself that needs to take place as well. Like we said, is my spirit right? Is there unforgiveness? Is my soul right? Is there some mind renewal that needs to take place? And then there's healing in communion. There's healing in the blood. There's healing in the bread of life, that as he was broken, he was able to make us whole again. As he was crushed, we were able to stand up very, very victoriously, right? And so I want to encourage us that communion, just the more that we take it, especially if you've taken it for so long, it just can become part of our day-to-day life. But as we slow down, we can understand the significance of it. And we can have, there's so many blessings that then we can look back and say, that was because of the blood of Jesus. It wasn't because of me. but it was because I submitted myself to his processes, to his ways. I've been baptized, and now I commune with the Lord on a daily basis. And as we come together, there's new faces, there's new smiles, and we're being built up to a new variety in God. God's doing a brand new thing, and so we shouldn't look at communion as the same way we've always looked at it. Does this make sense? And so, to summarize, before we take communion, the Lord told us to take up communion, the Lord himself. And I didn't say this before, but the Lord who makes our decisions commanded his disciples to observe the Lord's Supper. And so if we are saved, we call ourselves disciples. So it's not something that, you know, it's just, oh, okay, that was great for them. No, this is for us too tonight. And so I would encourage you, you know, we have so many communion cups. If you would like to take some communion home and dedicate to do it, I don't know, for a week. Just setting aside the special time to say, Lord, there's something that I need to be nourished with. Here's something cool about calories is, like, when you eat bread, you don't tell the calories where to start working. It automatically goes where it needs to go, right? And so in the same way, there can even be times when we don't know what it's doing on the inside. But the very life of God, when we partake in the bread of life, it's going to the very places that it needs to go, right? And so, again, this is not comprehensive. We could spend like so long on the blood of Jesus. It's so good. But so the Lord told us to take up communion. The Lord told us how to take up communion. We're supposed to examine ourselves and look forward to Christ's return with the bread, with the blood. And then if there's healing that needs to take place, if there's a unity that needs to take place, which it always does, then let's appreciate it. Let's appropriate it. Let's take it on for ourselves. And then let's let the reality of the supernatural become reality here in the natural. Does that make sense? It will become realized if we can just see it with our eyes of faith. It's just as real to me here as it is in the spirit with my faith eyes. It's just as real here. Okay? So everybody can close their eyes. I'm going to lead us in a salvation prayer because I don't want to assume all of us are saved. But Lord, we just thank you so much. You make salvation so easy. Your gift is very free. And so, Lord, we accept and we confess that we have sinned. We have fallen short of the glory of God, but that you have given a gift that is greater than anything I could come up with in my own actions. I fall short, but you for sure don't. And so I believe that you died for my sins, that God raised you from the dead on the third day. And I dedicate not only this life, but my life to come. I will live for you every day to bring glory to your name for all of my days. I cannot wait to see you face to face. It's that easy, that easy. And then as we're saved, as all of us have come into the fold, now, Lord, we just thank you so much. We thank you that as we take the cup and as we take the bread, we just thank you that it does exactly what it needs to do. We thank you, Lord, that as we take of one bread, as we take of one cup, that there is unity that is taking place within the body. We just thank you that the love of God is being shed abroad in our hearts, that the liquid love of Jesus knows no bounds, and especially not humans. And so we just thank you, Lord, that your love is doing exactly what it needs to in our hearts and in our minds. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for healing in your name. We thank you for love in your name, for victory in your name. Everything that your name entails, we want to not only just see it in its grand splendor, to see it with unveiled faces, but Lord, we know that you intended for us to take this on for ourselves too, here, tonight, in our lives. And so Lord, we just thank you for it. First, we examine our hearts. We repent of anything that needs to take place. We come to you first, knowing that you're so gracious, that if we just come to you, you forgive, and that then we get to experience the fellowship that you intended for us to have. And then, Lord, we just thank you that now that our relationship is restored, you're so good, you're so gracious, you have so many gifts to bestow on your children. And so, Lord, we just thank you for healing in your name. We thank you that healing is body, soul, and spirit, that depression and anxiety, that fear and strife have to flee at your name. Your name is greater than everything else. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the bread. We're going to take the bread. We just thank you for everything that it entails. As we find out more about your bread, as we continue to nourish ourselves based off your bread, as it becomes our lifeblood, we just thank you that as we ingest it, it goes to the very parts that it needs to go to in us. We just thank you for it. And then, Lord, we just thank you for the blood. We thank you for your love. We thank you that it's being shed abroad in our hearts. We just thank you for not only the activity of the blood that we've talked about tonight, but that there's so much more. We endeavor to find out more about your blood, what all it means to us. But Lord, we just thank you that as we drink it, it becomes the very life that we take on. We just thank you, Jesus. You are so good. Thank you. And then Lord, we just thank you so much for tonight. We thank you that this is not something that is common. We don't want to remember you and just let it become repetition, let it become redundant, Lord, but we want to pause and ponder just what you intended for us tonight. We place ourselves in the disciples' feet. We want to see you face to face, and so as we place ourselves in that position, we just thank you that we honor and we reverence what you intended for the church, what you intended for us. We take it on for ourselves, and we just thank you that because you are flowing on the inside, that there are things on the other side of tonight, on the other side of this week, that can only be given glory back to you. And so, Lord, we just thank you that we're filled up to overflowing. It's not just the amount of natural juice that we drink, but that we're filled up on the inside, and that we go from this place and we're changed, not just because of our actions, but because of our heart posture, because you are so gracious. You are so good. And so, Lord, we're not asking you for you to be any bigger. We're just asking for us to get to see you in a grander way. Just reveal to our hearts, reveal to our eyes. We want revelation in this, and we want revelation in you. So, Lord, we just thank you for tonight. We give you all the glory. We just thank you that everything that you entailed for us, it's not hidden. It's available and it's open. And so we just thank you for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.